I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hang on a second. I can actually subdivide this and put a new mini boarding house on the back of it.
This is Property Investory, where we talk to successful property investors to find out more about their stories, mindset, and strategies. I'm Tyrone Shum, and in this episode, we continue our conversation with property developer Vivian Halliday. She shares how she improved her income by 50% by turning a standard development into an investment that generates five incomes. We also hear about how she saved her mother from losing her house and explore her fearless mindset that helped build her success. While the Queen of Renos has built up an impressive portfolio, she's decided to move on from building and delve into the next stage of her career.
I'm sort of going into my next phase of trying to get higher growth, higher income. So I've sold two last year and I'm actually selling another one this year. So I used to have probably about eight in the portfolio, but I've just sort of like anything that wasn't performing as well as what I wanted, I sort of sold down. If I'd sold it another year later, it would have been really, really great, but you get that. It's just the way that the property market goes. So I'd sort of collected quite a few along the way and as buy and holds, but, you know, like always waiting for that market to go up and it sort of never really, the rents never went up in that area or the market didn't go up in that area. So I've actually been a lot more focused on actually creating the return more so at the moment, which is what my mini boarding houses have been doing. So I've sort of changed focus a little bit in the last little while. They've always been quite successful, you know, the ones that I've sold, I would have made 100, 150 each time. But, you know, there's always been the one or two that haven't sort of quite worked out as you see, but that's part of the process.
She explained how selling some of her properties gave her better borrowing opportunities.
It just sort of meant that borrowing ability was better, so I could actually borrow more to get back into the ones that I wanted to. Pay down some of the debt that I had. You know, like I know friends of mine have sort of said they wouldn't be able to sleep at night if they, you know, had the amount of debt that I had. I don't see it as that. I just see it as, you know, it's just the cost of doing business. It's, you know, like I've got this property that covers that and I've got income that pays for it. So it doesn't really worry me because I know that I can always deal with whatever comes along. If something breaks, I can fix it. If, you know, people still need to rent houses to live in. So it's not like I'm investing in something that nobody will ever want. They're all in good areas, you know, that sort of thing. So it's never been a problem that way. But, yeah, like I suppose you need to put yourself in a position that you can keep moving forward. So that's why I was selling them down.
With the amount of experience Halliday has, you'd assume her aha moment happened early in her career. But surprisingly, it was her most recent development.
I had been struggling trying to find my next deal, and I'd also been looking for something that I could retrofit to a mini boarding house. So that means that it's a council-approved house. So it's a residential house that you can rent separate rooms and they'd be self-contained, which is, I see, a really big thing with COVID, you know, like having little separate rooms and things. And I'd been looking quite hard for this property to renovate, and I came across a property that I automatically thought, yeah, I could renovate this into a mini boarding house. And I'm going, hang on a second, I can actually subdivide this and put a new mini boarding house on the back of it. And I go, I'm just not looking big enough, you know. So it was just looking at what was available and seeing the different things that you can make out of a property. And it was all, you know, like looking at things differently.
Halliday continues to break down the ins and outs of her most recent development.
So these are still residential properties and they're still in the house, but you can rent the rooms separately. And there are specific rules around them in Brisbane. I think you can do them in the Gold Coast as well and in a few other areas. But this was walking distance to trains, buses, pub, shopping centre. Like, it was in a really good position for people that just wanted to rent a room. It's quite a large room. It's not like you've got a little tiny area and you can't swing a cat in it. You've got room for a sofa and, you know, so it's quite comfortable. Like, if I was sort of young again, I would just, like, think this was the greatest thing to rent, you know, reasonably priced. You don't have to worry about anything and you've got your own space, you know, instead of, like, in the day having to share with a whole lot of people just to pay the rent in a old rundown house. So this is a lot nicer. And I sort of feel good about, you know, providing that to the market.
But I'd love to delve into this a little bit more to understand how it is. So you're buying an existing residential property, and because it can be zoned or converted into a sort of a mini boarding house, how many people can you actually put into these?
So that one there I actually just renovated and sold. I actually did a retrofit to another property that I already owned. But, so the rules are a maximum of 5 in that property. So whether you have a couple in one room and 3 other rooms of singles, or whether you have 5 separate ones or whatever, but you can't have more than 5. It's to do with the insurance, and plus it's just council regs. It's classified as a 1B.
While the properties are subdivided, they each have their own facilities.
They all have their own bathroom, and especially like during COVID and things like that, like, people didn't like sharing, you know, like if they sort of all these people in the one spot. And I know, you know, that was an issue and hard to sort of stop the spread and things like that. So to provide them with their own facilities, they can, you know, there's no oven or anything like that, but who needs an oven these days? You can have a microwave or a, you know, air fryer or something like that, or, you know, half the people don't cook these days anyway. So it just meant that, you know, they can have a table and chairs, their own ensuite, something, you know, couch, TV, and their own bedroom. And I try and fit an outdoor area. I think that's what Nyang has done with his. So it was actually him that sort of turned the light on for me, because he was sort of, I was looking for a property and I sort of hadn't quite clicked when you said that, you know, flick the switch. I was just trying to buy a property and retrofit it, whereas he was sort of saying, no, create the equity in it. Which is what I ended up doing by subdividing.
Just how large are these rooms in the house?
The retrofit was about 6x4, so about 24. Sometimes they're smaller, sometimes they're bigger.
So they resemble a one-bedroom studio.
Yeah, pretty much, like a one-bedroom studio, but in a normal house. So and it's important that they sort of, yeah, I think people like to have their own little space these days. So And they're all kept up to code. So, you know, you've got your fire safety and all that, you know, and a bit of soundproofing so that you're not going to blast the neighbour out with your TV, that sort of thing. So you have got, you know, livability.
You might be wondering just how long something like that takes to build.
I'd say the whole process probably took about 3 months, maybe longer, because like you've got to get those plans and get it certified, and the reno probably only took about 2 months, but the other stuff does take a while, and not everybody knows what to do with it. It's quite an involved process. There's lots of it was the hardest reno I've ever had to do, put it that way.
We find out if all the hard work was worth it and if she ended up making a good return.
It basically changed the almost by 50% the income. So it really made a big difference. And I've only just sort of had it fully rented since Christmas. So I'm still seeing what sort of difference the expenses are making on it. But it, so far it hasn't really made too much difference. So you can have a family of 5 or 8, you know, like they were going to use more power and water than, you know, 5 individuals. So it's not necessarily going to cost more, but sometimes it will. These ones are all air conditioned. So it's likely that in the middle of summer they will use the air conditioner full on. So especially if they're not paying extra for it. So I will be looking at how that works and whether we put solar on the top to cover that expense. The new one that I'm building will have solar on it.
As Halliday said, one thing people tend to forget about is the expenses and responsibilities put onto the developer by the tenants. So how does she manage that?
I'm getting a property manager. I think it's quite involved, and I think there's lots of rules and things out there nowadays. I just prefer to have it in the hands of a good property manager, and I know that my property is being looked after then. Not every property manager will take that on because it is a lot more work. So there are special ones around that will actually do that, and they do a good job too. So it's just a matter of asking around. If anyone wants to contact me, I'll certainly put them on the right path.
Life isn't perfect. Everyone hits a low point with seemingly no escape. But Halliday's mindset and curious attitude pulled her through the tough times.
During some of those times, I've got a bit of a maybe a stubborn streak, maybe, I think Young would call it. But I'm sort of not easily persuaded. If there's something that you know, like not having enough money for that interest, I always ask, how can I? It's not, you know, like, oh, it's all too hard, you know, like, what am I going to do? I'm not going to be able to pay the rent. And I just sort of went, well, how can I create more income? How can I, you know, what can I do with what I've got that can make a better use out of it? And most of the properties I've always looked at and gone, you know, like, how can I make this better? Or I suppose that interest rate one was a real sort of wake up for me. And that was when I was early 20s. So I've always looked at things as I went along, you know, like, how can I do it?
Education also provided her many opportunities.
I'd actually done a few courses on the way because, like, I think the Reno Kings came in, like, really early on, and everybody said, oh, Viv, have you seen them? You have to go and do that course, you know, which I did. And I actually ended up working with them as a bookkeeper and as a event coordinator for quite a number of years. But I absolutely loved that job. It was so good, and the boys were so good. I learned so much from them. So they were probably my first mentors. And they were, like, I suppose in a way that was the renovation type that I actually learned. It was a real basic sort of Renault, you know, like if you couldn't get $4 for the dollar you spent, you know, you don't do it. And that's really hard to get that sort of return. But, yeah, so I was always sort of like looking for, I suppose, the edge in that. So I'm just trying to think of some of the bad experiences, you know.
Coming up after the break, we'll delve more into Halliday's savvy mindset.
That if we had that little unit underneath and rented pretty much the whole house up the top, that I would get a full income coming in.
The ways her mentors helped her.
I can't stress enough how much the education has changed and changed my life.
The resources she used that helped her get to where she is today.
You can plug in, you know, your properties and see the what was going to be left at the end or owing.
And that's next. I'm Tyrone Shum and you're listening to Property Investory. Hey, property investor. Is your cash or equity currently earning you 1 to 2% per annum sitting in the bank? What if I said to you that you can do better? To find out more, simply register your interest to become a money partner at propertyinvestory.com. Right now, there are great opportunities in the property market and I'm looking for money partners who want to invest to get a high return with low risk on their money for 6 months. Register your interest by visiting propertyinvestory.com. Halliday explained further how she saved her mother and herself from the lowest point using nothing but brains and grit.
My mum was living in the house and I was living with my boyfriend at the time. So I was sort of paying a fair chunk of my wage into the house, you know, and so was she. But it was getting to the point that she had a second job. She was cleaning toilets. I was, you know, like I basically was putting more money in. I had hardly anything to live off. I wasn't earning a great deal of money at that time. And we're just sort of going, oh, like, what are we going to do with this? And when I was at the hardware, I noticed that there was lots of, you know, peach baths and, you know, like... vanities that sort of just, you know, weren't quite up to modern standards. And I sort of said to the guy, sort of like, what if I sort of took these at a discounted rate and, you know, like you know how to build and everything. What if I paid you to do some of the building and that for me? And that gave him an income. But then I could sort of see that if we had that little unit underneath and rented pretty much the whole house up the top, that I would get a full income coming in and mum would be able to live there for nothing and would be able to pay the rent. So it was, you know, like I suppose I learned from that, you know, sometimes if you look outside the square or ask questions or talk to people and see what they've done, instead of digging, you know, putting your head in the sand and saying it's too hard, I don't know what to do, there's usually always a way out, or there's always a different way of doing things that might be better. Or, you know, like if you talk to somebody that's been there before, they might have their opinion and it might just flick that switch for you that makes you think outside the box and solve your problem.
Motivation plays a big part in being a dedicated developer. For Halliday, it isn't just her passion for renovating that keeps her going.
During COVID, I suppose I'm 60 next year. And my husband's been working two on, two off for quite a few years over in Western Australia. But I suppose my daughter left to go to London, which she's sort of loving sometimes and not others because you can't get out over there at the moment. So, you know, like the typical empty nester, but my nest went down to sort of almost just me. And I sort of like looked at it and went, I'm not liking this too much. And then I sort of thought, well, okay, my husband didn't even come home for 3 or 4 months during COVID. He couldn't get back. He had to stay in Perth so he could keep doing his job. And I just sort of thought, I'm really over this. Sort of, I'm over us being separated and life. And again, it was the how can I, what can I do to make this work? And that's, you know, like, I suppose what I was looking for was something different to get income so that he could come home more. So he, hopefully, it's all sort of starting to fall into place now that he's actually got a part-time, like, so a 2-on-6-off position coming up by the end of the year, which, you know, his wage will drop down, but the mini boarding houses are coming up. So it's sort of like, and that was my focus. It was to get my family back together, you know, to get him home. Yeah, and to sort of, I don't know, get a life again. But, you know, like in that process, I've sort of gotten a life anyway, because, like, you know, you sort of, when you're on your own, you need to get out and talk to people, you know. So the property community is wonderful. We get together and we can actually, you know, talk about something that we're all passionate about. But I've sort of had to learn to put a few good things in and not just property, because otherwise, you know, life sort of gets a little bit one-sided.
Although they spend time apart, Halliday's husband is happy to help her out with renos when he can.
He actually did have a couple of weeks off, or probably about a month off, while I was renovating one of the mini boarding house. So he got hands-on with that. He doesn't mind. He just doesn't, yeah, like, he's not passionate about property. If I ask him to go and do something, he'll do it. But he won't sort of, you know, like, go out and find deals or anything like that for me. But, you know, I'm happy for him to help me on the reno. It's certainly a lot less lifting I have to do.
While Halliday has tradies to help her renovate, the passionate developer can't help herself to pitch in.
Oh, look, I have tradies, but I am a little bit too hands-on, because the more hands-on I am, the less time I have to focus on finding the deal. So I'm learning that lesson. I think I've been hit sort of by Young a few times, like, just like, you know, you've got to focus on the most important thing, and that's sort of not carrying stuff for your tradies. So yeah, I still, there's some things that I enjoy doing, you know, with the Queenslanders and that. I enjoy sort of probably fixing up the little bits, like the catches and things like that. I can see, I know how to fix them and make them look good again, and, you know, save, you know, a few hundred dollars here, there and everywhere. But I'm learning that a lot of stuff can be outsourced. So, and that just means more opportunity for me, that I can just do more than one deal at a time. I can do two or three, you know.
Along the way, she's had a few mentors, but there was one person in particular who she remembered fondly.
Jeff Doidge. And he's just passed away not so long ago, which was a shame, but he was such a lovely guy and so generous with his time and his information. He'll be sadly missed.
She shares the other mentors who provided her with more than just advice and gave her experience.
I suppose I actually was with the Reno Kings when they started Property Women. So, you know, at that time, Property Women wasn't in existence, and one of the girls that was working with the guys sort of moved, said, like, we should get the girls together. And it was true, because I worked as event coordinators for both. And when the men were in the room, the girls wouldn't ask questions. It was actually quite funny. And yet when the girls were all on their own, oh, my goodness, it was a totally different scenario. And they were prepared to be, you know, like, you know, asking the stupid question and being vulnerable, whereas They sort of probably wouldn't do it as much in front of it. Times have changed a little bit now. But the other thing was the men didn't ask as many questions either because they didn't want to be seen as not to know everything. So it was really great fun watching the different sort of, I don't know, groups play out. So, I did a lot of stuff with property women, and we did some lots of bus tours and things like that, so lots of fun. Bernadette Jensen is a great inspiration to me now. I love watching her podcast and that with the Reno stuff. She's just fun and lots of free stuff that's just amazing on there as well. But yeah, she's really good. But I suppose like when I got to that point that I really needed to step up and move on, that's when I looked for somebody that I actually thought could make a difference. I knew that I knew all the nuts and bolts. I knew how to renovate. And I'd done some subdivisions before, but and again, this is where I don't give up. I always ask, how can I? And that's what I thought, well, what is it that I'm missing? And that's why I looked for somebody that could help me with the mindset, which was Advanced Property Strategies and Young. But I think those are the people that have helped me on the property journey. I can't stress enough how much the education has changed and changed my life, I suppose, but also saved me so much, you know, like just the little tips and tricks on that people have learnt along the way. If you can take half of them on board, you won't have to make the same mistakes, you know. And I remember sort of like when you go to do something, go, no, remember such and such, you know. Learning those lessons is really important.
She's also read a few books and used resources to help her on her journey.
Oh, look, I started off with Jan Summers. And I actually was around when Jan Summers was still, I think I was in Mount Isa, and she came out to the golf club there. And I was just going, oh, my God, this is amazing. You know, you can do all this with this property. And I had her PIA software. I think it's still going. Where you can plug in, you know, your properties and see the what was going to be left at the end or owing at the end and what happens if you added another property to it. Loved it. So she was probably my first one that sort of like turned the lights on and thought, you know, you could actually do this as a business or as a full-time income, which it has pretty much done for me during the time, whether I've done renos for other people or whether I've, done joint ventures with other people. I think that and Robert Kiyosaki as well, a little bit different, being very Americanized, but it still had a lot of negative gearing back then, so I would never go that way again. But, you know, things change and you learn different stuff. So those are, my favourite sort of books, apart from, like, I'm obsessed with Audible. I'm always listening to something, especially when I drive an hour to get to Brisbane, and that's if you're lucky some days these days. I've always got an Audible book playing.
Halliday gives our listeners the advice she wished she received 10 years ago.
I think looking at where I am now and what I'm trying to do now, I would say that to concentrate on the income from the property more so than the capital growth. I think earlier on I was looking at the capital growth making me money, and it has worked, but I think now I would definitely still look at good areas, because that's going to set you up well anyway, and if there's capital growth, then great, you get a bonus. But I would definitely say look at that passive income and get something that's really going to give you not just covering your costs but more, double.
She explains why she's going to explore developing boarding houses more during this new phase in her career.
I see that as the way that I can actually get income a lot more passive and a lot more regular, and it'll allow me to do more things with my husband, and who knows, the world might open up to travel again and I'll be able to get back out there. But I see it as my path to being able to move into retirement, although I don't think I'll ever retire. I can probably just renovate a house a year or something like that just to keep my hand in, keep me from being bored. But I also see it as it's a great way of giving back, giving really nice accommodation to people that are at a reasonable price and they're safe. So I like that idea of it as well.
Well, Vivian, you've achieved so much. There's been a lot of great things, and thank you so much for sharing your stories there as well. What would you say do you think that all the things that you've done in property has been attributed towards your skill, intelligence and hard work, or has it been because due to luck?
I basically have done a lot of learning, a lot of education, and you can learn as much as you like and you can go to as many seminars if you like, but if you don't take that step and do something with it, you're never going to get anywhere. So I suppose, it is, I don't believe it's luck. I think if you actually put yourself in the right position and have the right information, then you'll know when the deal is right. But you've got to do something with that information that you've got. Otherwise, you're not going to get anywhere.
Thank you to our guest, Vivian Halliday, for coming onto our podcast. And if you love the show and are ready to get serious about investing your money to get a low risk, high return, then SMS me your name and email address on 04998810 40 to become a money partner. Right now, there are great opportunities in the property market, and I'm looking for money partners who want to invest their money for a short 6 months. To register interest, text me your name and email address on 04998810 40.